I think the best place to start is to pray. So let's just take some time to pray. Father, we thank you for bringing us together tonight. We want to thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. We want to thank you for your faithfulness in all your ways towards us. That even when you speak to us, it's because you love us and care for us so much. And so we want to open our hearts to your word tonight and ask that you would speak. We want to thank you for what you have already spoken from the beginning of this conference. Our hearts are open, Lord, and we are thirsty for your word. We pray that you would move by your Spirit and touch every heart here tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I want to start by reading to you a story, very, very short story, which I heard from a preacher I know, and he was using it to emphasize something else, which is not what I'm necessarily emphasizing in what I'm going to share, but I just felt it would be a good starting point. When I was 7 years old, my family and I visited Niagara Falls. I have an indelible picture in my mind of what I saw. A barge wedged against a huge rock right at the edge of the falls, with the water raging around it. I was forever impacted by the story I heard. Two young boys had been guarding the barge, safely tied to a dock far upstream. When night came, they fell asleep. As the boat gently rocked, the knot loosened and they began to float downstream. The boys slept on, drifting, not knowing they were in danger. Hitting rapids, the lads awoke with a jolt. Realizing that they were in danger, they yelled for help, but no one was awake to hear their cries. As daylight came, people saw the boys in distress, now rapidly rushing toward imminent death, but there was nothing anyone could do. They were too far out in the middle of the river, and no one could reach them in time. They fell to their knees and cried out to God to save the boys. Miraculously, just at the edge of the falls, the barge hit a huge rock and lodged securely against it. From there, the townsfolk were able to throw ropes and rescue the boys. It's been a very special time for me, especially if you know where I come from, and I will tell you just in case you don't. I don't want to assume you know. But to hear the theme of this conference, to hear about the story behind this movement, behind what God started here. Now, it's extremely important to look back, especially to look back at things that God has done in our lives. As individuals, as just me, it's important to take time to look back at what God has done. But it's also important to look back corporately as a body. Where has God brought us from? More so, to take time to remind ourselves of the things that He has spoken. Because we do tend to forget. Or we do tend to hold things lightly sometimes. So there is need for us to hear the things that we heard this morning from Norman. The story of how God gave him the picture and the prophetic word that came with it. I find it very interesting when you listen to that story that only God can do what he did. That is, taking his word almost out of context and speak in the way he did. I can't do that. I don't have the liberty to just take God's word and use it for however I like to use it. I might try, but I don't think I'll get away with that. But this is what God did, and we do well to take time to look back and reflect and think on that. Why? Because if we don't, there is the danger of drifting. There is the danger of not realizing that we are no longer anchored to anything. What Norman was sharing with us is the Word of God. And therefore it is important. Stopping like we have done to think about it is important because we are saying it is God who has spoken. His Word is precious. His Word is important. Let me take you to the scriptures. I have a few things I want to share here. It was an interesting experience for me starting yesterday when our brother Peter was speaking. You know, I was made aware of the invitation to speak here quite a while back. And so in my head, I'd been asking God for what to say, and I'd been writing things all over the place in my notebooks and so on and so on. And you come to a meeting and you're sitting there, and the things that you have been writing or thinking about are being said. So you think, okay, this is day one. So by the time we get to day two, and all my message, and that's what has happened. Most of what I wanted to say has been said. But the wonderful thing is, Norman said today, God likes to repeat himself. And repetition is for emphasis. So if I say something that you have already said, praise God. That's his grace. That's his love towards us. But there is something else there, that by saying that God is speaking to us through his word, we are saying that on the other side there is an ear that's hearing his word. On the other end there is a heart that's receiving what he's saying. Some of us who have been parents know that we say to our children, you know, I've told you a million times not to do that. Well, we know that we have not been counting. We know that it wasn't a million times. But the idea is that I've said this enough, so much so that by not listening to me, you are disrespecting me. You need to listen to what I'm saying. And so, taking time to listen to Norman's testimony is, to me, extremely important. And maybe that's because I come from Zimbabwe. I'm an African. We love stories. Maybe that's a cultural thing where here, when people are getting older, especially, and I always say this, and I mean it with all my heart, that if you feel you're getting old here and you're being ignored, please come and talk to me. I can take you to a place where people will listen to you because you are old. I remember going to see Mr. North the first time I met him when he came to Zimbabwe. I said to him, I would like you to come to my school and speak. And he said, I'm an old man. I'm gray-haired. Will they listen to me? I said, of course. If you have got gray hair, you wear glasses, people will think you're so wise. Everybody will listen to what you're saying. But I have a few words that I'm going to say as warnings. And one of them is this, that culturally here we need to be careful about ageism. So we rule out an older generation. We don't want to listen to the old stories anymore. But these are unique stories. This is not, you know, the hare and the rabbit or what, you know, how the leopard got his spots kind of stories. This is not just, you know, that's not just stories. This is the story of God, written by the finger of God, coming from his heart. And we do well to listen to these stories. Now, I was going to take you to Isaiah to emphasize this thing about why do we have to reflect on words that were spoken 40 or 50 years ago? Well, the answer is because God spoke them. And his word is eternal. It has no sell-by date. We cannot say, well, yeah, you know, he did it for them. Now let's see how we can move on into new things. We can't. We can't do that. We have to come to God because of what he has said, because his word is eternal. And it's fresh, it's real for you and me today. And this is what it says here. In Isaiah 40, verses 28 to 31. Now, Isaiah 40, you'll know, especially if you read from the King James, that it's one of those chapters in the Bible that I say, especially there for the English people. Come for tea, all my people. It doesn't mean anything to me. I learned to drink tea from the English. I don't think it means anything to an Iranian. But all the English people listen up when it comes to Isaiah 40. Because there is this wonderful invitation for a cup of tea. In fact, I was teaching someone, I was showing someone somewhere, I was sharing, it was a Rwandese young girl in Ross Trevor, Northern Ireland, a few weeks ago. And I was telling her that I will be speaking at this conference, and I was telling her about the theme. And she's learning to read the scriptures. And so she went to look to the book of Revelation 22, you know, the theme of this conference. And she read the text, and she looked at me and said, the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. I said, yeah. She said, it sounds like herbal tea. I said, you try that with the English and see whether they will take it. They are having had time with Red Bush already. Isaiah 40. And this is what the word of God says. And this is why we need to take time to reflect on these words that were said to a man many years ago, but they had such a powerful impact. And I'll try to spread this even further. But it says here, hang on, I'm sort of lost here. 28, Isaiah 40, 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. The creator of the ends of the earth. He is the God who has spoken. He is the God whose words we are reflecting on. He is the God whose words we are thinking about. We are thinking about their implication on our lives now. And I want to take time to share about
how those words impacted me. That's why I'm here. I'm here because of these things that Norman was sharing today. So we need to reflect, because they are the words which were spoken by God, who is the creator of the heavens, ends of the earth. He says here, his understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I think the secret is in knowing the Word of God. Reflecting on the Word of God. The word that Norman used this morning was pondering on the Word of God. So that's why we take time to do what we are doing. Because it is God Himself who has spoken. Now, I find amongst young people today that there is almost a shame, or they are ashamed to be associated. I mean, again, it's a cultural thing. They are ashamed to be associated with an older generation. So I want you to listen to me as an African today. Because when I read in the Word of God, when I read the Apostle Paul saying to Timothy, "Timothy, my son, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord Jesus Christ and about me as an old man." Do you see that? We heard the testimony of the Word of God here this morning. But it's not in a vacuum. It's connected to a human being who is getting old. And the Word of God is saying we should not be ashamed of the Word of God. We should not be ashamed of the people who are associated with it. Because that's part of our heritage. That's part of our... The phone call I got from Dave Viney when he was telling him about the conference said that we are looking at our DNA. That's our story. As a movement. As a people. And we can't take that lightly. So, when Paul is talking, he's talking here, he emphasizes this word, you know, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Because that's the easiest thing to do. I mean, at the end of this meeting, and this happens a lot everywhere I go, people talk to me at the end of meetings, but if tomorrow morning you found that I was in handcuffs somewhere, I think you would be a little bit embarrassed to be associated with me. And until you knew the details why I was arrested, you would be thinking, I don't know if I want to be associated with this man. And that was Paul's situation. He was a prisoner. And he's saying to Timothy, you know, as a young man, Timothy, you will be put in a place where it will be so easy for you to think, I don't want to be associated with Apostle Paul. But do not be ashamed. And then the third thing I wanted to say, which I started with by reading that story, the reason why we take time to reflect on words spoken 40 or 50 years ago is lest we drift. Lest we drift. At our fellowship at Devonshire Road, we had Fred Tomlinson come and he preached a powerful message along these lines. And so I want to say it as a warning that drifting can happen to anyone. Drifting can happen to anyone. So we need to be alert. And one of the ways we become alert is to make ourselves aware of our history and where we are coming from. The things that God has spoken are precious. Let's take them to heart. I'm not talking about looking back in nostalgia. Let me tell you this right now, that, you know, what God did in the fellowships in those early days was a powerful move of God. And if he's going to do something, he's not going to necessarily repeat exactly the same thing, because it doesn't work like that. But that does not mean we should not look behind. That does not mean we should not be informed by our history, by our past, in a positive way. We should actually celebrate our history. I want to move on to the text from Revelation, which has been the main theme of the conference. And again, in sharing some of these things here, I'll be repeating things that you have heard here already. But as I said, God wants to emphasize these things. I want to say about three things from the text, from our main text. Revelation 22, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. I want to start with that word leaves, the leaves. We heard about this yesterday, about how we are unique. God has made us unique. You know, when you look at a tree and you see leaves, you might think they are all the same. They are not. They are not. It's actually becoming a fascinating science, this, where increasingly scientists are discovering that there's not a single blade of grass that's similar to another for the other one. There's not a single leaf in an oak tree or whatever tree that's exactly the same as another one. So there's a uniqueness. What we heard this morning is how God dealt with Norman and how he has used Norman as a unique person. God is not expecting to do exactly the same thing. Why? Because you are unique. You are different. And you bring to your Father, you bring to God, your Father, something that's so special that only you can bring. You don't have to be like somebody else. God will miss you. So there is a uniqueness that comes with this. But within that uniqueness, within that special uniqueness, we also celebrate diversity. We celebrate the God who is the God of diversity. Another thing I wanted to say about the leaves is that they don't last forever. We heard about this from Norman this morning, that you know, if God is going to speak, to inspire us and to encourage us, to actually use the illustration of a leaf, is, you think, Lord, why don't you say we are something a bit more, you know, permanent? Something that lasts a long, long time. You know, in the vision that Norman had, in the picture that God gave to Norman, the leaves became alive because the Spirit of God moved in the leaves. Now, you'll be interested to hear this. One of the strangest things that happened to me as an African man coming to the United Kingdom for the first time was to work as a gardener, raising money for my biblical studies. Now, I say it was strange because if you think about autumn setting in here and trying to collect leaves. I know that there are some people here who've been to Africa. You have to imagine this. Imagine an African man chasing leaves, trying to get them together. I kept thinking, I'm so thankful to God that none of my friends can see me now. or any of my family. Because if there is a wind, it's impossible to get the leaves together. And I was trying to, when I was doing it, I was trying to be a perfectionist. You know, I thought if my job is to sweep up the leaves, so every leaf must be swept up. I'm not going to leave a single leaf behind. Oh. And my boss would say, that's enough, it's okay, we can leave it like that. And by this time, I'm really angry, I'm really mad. I'm like, how is it difficult to trim English leaves? How can you, you can't head them, you can't get them together. But they don't last forever. And before long, they become manure. They become compost. And Jesus said, you know, you are the salt of the earth. He might as well say here, he's saying we are the leaves. He might as well say you are the compost of the earth. Because compost does bring life. And that's your calling. That's my calling. There is the life of God. Again, you have heard this. There is the life of God coursing through me, through you. And God wants that life lived out to touch others. So, wherever you are as a leaf, wherever you are scattered, or as compost, you bring life, you bring vitality because of the life of God in you. The second thing I wanted to bring out here from this verse is the word healing. And I want to flesh this out. I want to give this a little bit of flesh. What does it look like when a nation is healed? What does it look like when a nation is healed? And I will come to the word nation as well as my last thing. But I was born on a farm in Zimbabwe. So to give this a bit of flesh, I'm going to tell you a story. I was born on a farm in Zimbabwe, but my father was not a Zimbabwean. He came from Malawi. He came looking for work when he was still very young. He walked most of the way from Malawi, from his village outside Lilongwe. He walked all the way to Zimbabwe. For most of that time in those days, we are talking of the 40s and 50s, into the 60s. For an African man in southern Rhodesia, life was very tough. He worked almost like slave labor on building roads. No pay. If you were given something to eat at the end of the day, you were lucky. That was his life. So by the time I was born, my father had been working on farms like this for pretty much his life. And he was a very, very angry and bitter man because of the way he had been treated by white people especially. He did not trust them. He told the stories upon stories where he felt he had been abused physically. He felt he had been lied to. He had been cheated. Told he would be given, you know, his pension. The guy disappeared, never saw him again. That had been his life. That had been his life, all his life. To him, if he saw a white person, he just saw an oppressor. That's the word we used in Zimbabwe. He saw someone who represented oppression. And so, this had an impact on him in the way he heard the gospel. This was like background noise in his head. People would stand up, especially missionaries who came later on to Amoeba, would stand up and preach the gospel. You could tell that my father was processing all this through his experience. Found it very hard to believe. Found it very hard to open his heart to the gospel. Then one day, he surprised me. He shocked me. I came home from school and I noticed that he used to smile a lot, but I noticed that on this particular day, you know, he had a smile in Africa we described as ear to ear. And he said, come here, I want to tell you, I want to ask you something. And he said, there is a white man who has just come on the farm. Do you know him? I said, well, I'm not sure. I don't know. He said, I've never seen a white person like that before. I've never seen a white man like that before. I said to him, what did he do? He said, well, he greeted me. I said, is that all? He said, yeah. He could not, my father could not speak English. I said, well, when you say he greeted you, is this the first time you've been greeted by a white person? He said, no, but this was different. There is a way in which he shook my hand. There's a way in which he touched me. I felt that there was genuine love for me as a human being in that handshake. Wow. I wanted to see that white man too. And so I quickly changed from my uniform and went down to the farm, and I met for the first time Norman Meeting. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nation. He is a Malawian man who had been broken, who had been hurt. He meets someone who has met with God and has this impact with on him, and yet they haven't even exchanged words. If they did, but they did not understand each other. So, this healing is real. You know, I'm telling you my father's story. You just need to go back a few years before. That was my story too. I was an angry young man. Largely for the same reasons, the historical reasons that my father was angry about. You know, if you know anything about apartheid in South Africa, we had a similar thing in Zimbabwe, except that it was not called apartheid at that time. So I was very, very angry. I remember at about maybe even less than 10 years old, I raised my clenched fist to the white man's, our white boss' wife. And she freaked out. She went and told my dad. I thought she didn't recognize me. I thought I was in a nice little crowd. She wouldn't recognize me. But she went and told my dad, she said, your son is politicized already, and he's less than 10 years old. That's how angry I was. And God raised those leaves by his spirit, and they were scattered. And I also met a man whose love towards me brought me to the love of God and melted my heart completely. And I walked away, scratching my head, thinking, am I dreaming? Is this real? Is this happening? Because I have never seen a person like that. But I also know that all the wounds in my heart from my past were healed because of that man. God used him. So when we talk about the leaves of the tree being for the healing of the nation, this is not just some kind of fear we are talking about. We live in a world that's broken. We live in a world that's hurting. And God wants us to be used to bring his healing. We need to be aware of that. We need to believe that. We need to step out, utterly convinced that that's how God wants to use us. We read this morning, I'm going to go up this text again, but this is, we heard Norman refer to Luke chapter 4, but I'm going to look at it at Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. This is the ministry of the Lord Jesus, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. What does ashes mean? Ashes means that the fire truck is even too late. It's gone. But it's saying here that when Jesus comes, he has the power to turn those ashes into something of beauty. And the world needs to see this amongst God's people, bringing healing to the nations. I want to take you to one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And this is in Acts chapter 10. Again, emphasizing in a different way this same idea. Acts chapter 10. I'm looking at verse 37. Well, maybe start from verse 36 to pick it up from a reasonable place. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee and after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed. What a wonderful summary of the ministry of Jesus. What a wonderful summary of the ministry of Jesus. Now, wouldn't you want to have that as a summary for your life too? That, you know, this man or this woman went about doing good. Now, we react. We become very, very concerned when we hear about doing good. In fact, I don't want to be known as a do-gooder. It's negative. We don't like it. But yeah, that's how our Lord is described. Jesus was a do-gooder. He went about doing good, healing the sick and delivering those who were oppressed. What a wonderful summary of what his ministry was on earth. And he says here, verse 39, and we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. We are witnesses. We are witnesses. I always say to people, this is not the first time you hear this word, witnesses. Jesus himself said, you know, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you know, you will be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. It's one of the simplest things to do, to be a witness. But let me tell you that one of the things that stops us from being witnesses is that we want to be judges. We want to be judges. If we go out In our communities, wherever we live, and we aim for this. We aim for what this description about the life of Jesus, who was anointed by God, by the Holy Spirit, and he went about doing good. We will bring the healing that's so desperately needed. And God wants us to do it as his witnesses, as those that are witnessing for him. Finally, I want to look at the word nations. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. I want you to notice that that word nations needs to be understood in the context of distinct people groups. And our brother Peter yesterday highlighted this. He said, you know, I can't remember the exact figure he mentioned of, you know, people groups who are in the UK. Okay? We have not heard the gospel. And this is how God looks at what we call nations. And the whole idea of looking at nations is a wrong concept because it's misleading. If you think of a nation state as a nation state of the United Kingdom, it's not accurate. Because within it, there are these ethnic groups and God sees them. This is so important for us as God's people to understand and get hold of today, that God sees distinct people groups as they are. He doesn't lump everybody and say, oh, here they are, they are the English there. No. And I'm so glad about that. Not because I have anything against the English. I love the English, in fact. My wife is English. But I just take such joy in knowing that my God sees me and is concerned for me. And that's true too for every people group that is here in this nation or in this country. But here's another thing that gets me excited about this is what we are reading there. At the consummation of history, at the end of history, this is the new Jerusalem. What we are reading there is God showing that he is committed to his word. And that word, it starts in Genesis chapter 12, the call to Abraham and the promise to Abraham, through you all the families of the earth will be blessed. All the nations of the earth will be blessed. God never deviated from that promise. And so the nations who are healed here, the nations who are receiving his healing here, are the nations that God has been pursuing with all his heart from the beginning. I don't know how that makes you feel. Where I come from will probably be jumping up and down and dancing a little bit. Because the Apostle Paul put it like this. You know, when I teach in YWAM's DTS, is when I teach our young people, and I say, you know, God is wanting us to take his gospel to the nations, his word to the nations. And when we take the gospel, we need to understand this. We need to understand that it's the old, old story. The promise made to Abraham. Paul puts it like this in Genesis chapter 3. He said, God, foreseeing that the Gentiles will be justified by faith, preach the gospel first to Abraham. So when I stand up to preach the gospel, I'm not preaching some new message or, you know, some new fad. What gives me courage? What gives me joy? What gives me the excitement of preaching this message is knowing that God has been committed to it from the beginning of time. So I say to our young people in YWAM, when we say, you know, some of them don't even know this, but you know, that song, Tell Me Again the Old, Old Story, say there is truth in that. But do you know what it does to me? You know, I told you about my dad. I told you about myself. Let me tell you about my mom. Just finish the picture here. She was an amazing seamstress. You know, we were so poor, but she was very creative, very inventive. So there was hardly any money to buy new clothes in the house for us boys. My mom would check my dad's overalls. You know, on the farm, a man's overalls would wear out here completely. So that's it. They are finished. My mom would get them and cut off the ends and make shorts for me. And you should have seen the stitching by hand, but you should have seen it. You can confirm with my wife here. She has seen my mom in action. Impressive. So I would have shorts which used to be my dad's red overalls. You know, if there was a boy walking, wandering around in these bright red shorts, which used to be old overalls, that was me. But then what would happen was, because of the heavy duty kind of games that I played, before long they would have holes in the back. And you would think, oh, now it's time for them to be thrown away. Not with my mom. She would get the sleeves of the old overalls and she would patch them. And sometimes, and I kid you not, this happened. Sometimes there will be green overalls on the bright red shorts. And my friends used to tease me and say, you know, he has got headlamps, like car headlamps on his back. At that time, if you had come to me and said, God, one day will take you to the nations to preach the gospel, I would have said, you are such a cruel person. How can this be possible? As I grew up like that, I felt very inferior. I felt I was nothing. Until I came into these things that we are sharing here today, I realized, wow, God had me in His mind before the beginning. That the Gentiles, that's me, who would be justified by faith. And that took the obedience of men and women who allowed God to lift them up by His Spirit so that they would go out as the leaves that would heal my nation, that would heal me as a person. Where is the place for an inferiority complex in that? Where is the place for feeling sorry for myself in that? No way. I knew my life was in God's hands. And that it didn't matter that I was just a poor boy or I was an African, that He wanted to use me. That He loved me and cared for me. That He had a purpose for my life. That He wanted so much to be glorified through me. I want to finish with this. God will pursue His purpose to the very end. The promise made to Abraham about the families of the earth being blessed through the seed of Abraham, which is Jesus. We heard about this. These are the nations that are being talked about in Revelation 22. Your name is there. Your distinct ethnicity is there. God knows you by name. So let's be careful that when we read about the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations, that we just think, oh, it's something broad and general, really. It's not like that. It's detailed. In Greek, it's ethne. It's specific, it's distinct people groups. And so, you can walk out of here with your head held high that God has His hand upon your life and He wants to use you. As a simple leaf, nothing special, but that leaf, because of the Spirit of God, He wants to use you to bring healing. Let's pray.